NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, Josh McKenzie von der Band Apologies, I Have None. Er kommt gleich zu Wort. Es gibt ein neues zweites Album, das ich schon mal in der Sendung gespielt habe. Es heißt Pharmacy. Wir hören jetzt allerdings als Einstieg ein Stück, das ich noch nicht gespielt habe, ist Clarity of Mourning von Apologies, I Have None. Apologies, I Have None, Clarity of Mourning von dem neuen Album Pharmacy. Bei mir im Studio ist, wie gesagt, Josh McKenzie. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thanks.
Glad you could make it. So you arrived late last night, but it was too late to go out on the town, so you've had a good sleep and feeling rejuvenated.
Probably wasn't too late, but it was too late for us.
Okay, right. Because you've been here a few times to Germany, haven't you?
Yeah.
So you kind of, you know, you've been kind of through the rigmarole a few times. And is it still as fresh as it was like when you first started? Has become kind of, in some way, like professional routine, do you think? Or is it a band who doesn't actually even think in terms of professional routine?
We have no professional routine. We have no unprofessional routine, so no, it's still good. Like, I mean, it gets better, I think, to be honest. Like, I enjoy it more and more and more, especially when you kind of, you know, you go to a few cities quite often, so you get used to them, you know your way around a bit and stuff. Yeah, it's still fresh,
yeah, but nonetheless in some way familiar.
Yeah
Nice combination, fresh and familiar.
Exactly.
Ja, die Band gibt es schon seit ein paar Jahren jetzt. Sie sind schon ein paar Mal auf Tour gewesen hier in Deutschland. Und sie kennen sich schon ein bisschen aus. Und er meint, dass es eigentlich immer schöner wird. Also jedes Mal, dass sie kommen, weil einerseits ist es auf jeden Fall noch frisch und alles schon neu, aber andererseits doch ein Stück vertraut. Und sie fühlen sich dann so ein wenig heimisch. So, it took you quite a while to make a second album. Is that because you were just touring so much, or was it because you laboured over the new song so much, or...?
It's a combination of a few things. We started writing it years and years ago, and then we had, like, lineup changes, and one of the guys that was writing some of the songs left. So we kind of... And that's the main reason it took us so long, because we were sort of half... Well, not halfway, but stuck into it, and then we had to just completely reevaluate everything. But, I mean, in general, we just take a long time to write songs. I don't know, it doesn't come too easily.
Okay.
So...
Yeah,
I don't want to leave it the same sort of length of time before doing another record, though. I think we learnt a lot about how not to do certain things.
How not to do things?
Yeah.
As opposed to how to do things?
Well, yeah, maybe. We'll find out.
Okay. Ja, es dauerte 3 Jahre, bis sie das zweite Album fertig gekriegt haben. Er meinte, es liegt daran einmal, dass ein Bandmitglied die Gruppe verlassen hat. Das war ein Problem, weil er auch viel zum Songwriting beigetragen hat. Und die mussten sich dann neu orientieren. Andererseits meinte er, dass er ohnehin immer sehr viel Zeit braucht, um Songs zu schreiben. Die ganze Band findet es nicht leicht, irgendwie ganz schnell Songs zu komponieren. Es ist schon so ein ziemlich langwieriger Prozess für sie. Und daran hat sich nichts geändert. Er weiß, dass 3 Jahre eine ziemlich lange Zeit ist für eine junge Band, um ein zweites Album zu machen, und er möchte das in der Zukunft meiden, dass so eine lange Pause entsteht. But maybe, you know, there is a positive spin to the fact that it's taken so long, because it seems to me to be a lot of kind of, I get the idea, quite a bit of perfectionism has gone into it. It sounds like very well crafted. It sounds like nothing is there just arbitrarily, you know, everything seems to have exactly its right place.
Yeah, I mean, we did, that was quite a big point in doing it. Like, I mean, to me, it's a little bit, it doesn't seem like that rigid, but it is kind of like, you know, references back into the songs within the album and stuff. And I like that just because it seems a nicer way to create something, an album, than just sort of 10 songs strung together. So, yeah, I mean, that was definitely intentional. And it would have played a bit of a part in how long it took, but I don't think it was a major part. But, yeah, it was fun writing it like that, just... Even songs you hadn't started writing, you kind of had an idea of what you would need to put in it to kind of tie it in with everything else.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it.
Ja, mir ist es aufgefallen, dass es eigentlich alles ziemlich so liebevoll gemacht ist, das neue Album. Es ist alles sehr präzise gemacht. Man hat das Gefühl, dass alles perfekt platziert ist. Und ob sie sich so wirklich sehr viele Gedanken darüber gemacht haben, wie das Endprodukt dann tatsächlich dann sein sollte von der Struktur her. Und er sagte, ja, natürlich war es schon ein Gedanke von ihm. Er wollte, und die wollten alle, dass es irgendwie so flüssig und fließend wirkt. Und dass die Songs, die gehen teilweise ineinander über. Und er meinte, das war schon sehr bewusste Haltung, dass die Songs richtig alle eng miteinander verknüpft sein sollen und dass es ein einheitliches Feeling vermitteln sollte. Aber glaub nicht, dass das der Grund ist, warum es so lange alles gedauert hat. Also das, es war einfach sowieso ihre Absicht dann, auf diese Weise so eine ziemlich pingelige Platte dann auf die Reihe zu kriegen. Dann hören wir jetzt noch ein Stück von dem neuen Album von Apologies, I Have None. Hier ist jetzt Crooked Teeth. Das war Crooked Teeth von Apologies, I Have None, von dem neuen Album Pharmacy. Bei mir im Studio ist Josh McKenzie. Going back to your first album, to the London album, what it seems to have in common with this, if there's a common thread, is that you don't seem to just churn out songs in an arbitrary way, but it seems to be like you've always got some sort of proper thought process behind it. It's like you seem to not just turn out the short and sweet songs, but you actually have some kind of concept behind it. Maybe not a fully fledged concept,
yeah,
but something deeper behind each song.
Yeah, it definitely not like fully. I wouldn't call them concept records or anything. But yeah, there is a kind of theme that runs through them. But it doesn't always necessarily like. I might kind of start writing a song without having any really indication of. I rarely go, right, I'm going to sit down and write a song about this. Or even though they do sort of tie together, it doesn't happen like that. It's more like start writing a song and then just seeing how you can like tweak it so that it all does go together. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if I really was like at any point, oh, for this bit, it needs to be a song that like focuses on this. It's more you just as... Because I'm not writing one song and then another song and then another song. I'm just writing loads of stuff and like... You know, end up with like a couple of songs close to being done altogether. But yeah, it's not like a really conscious thing to go like this needs to be in this position, so it needs to mention this. It's just
okay. But you do actually have the feeling that it got to be of some substance, as opposed to being. You don't seem to do any kind of trivial sort of writing in that sense. Some people just enjoy the process of trivial.
Yeah, I try not to do that, and that yeah. So quite often I end up with like. A lot of lyrics I go back and just go in there because, I don't know, you think they're good and then a couple of days later you're suddenly like, it's not even close to good. it is trivial or it's kind of pointless or do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Ja, man könnte den Eindruck gewinnen, dass die beiden Alben, also London and Pharmacy, dass sie fast so Konzeptalben seien. Die sind irgendwie schon sehr durchdacht und er sagte, er versteht sie aber nicht wirklich als Konzeptalben in engem Sinne. Er weiß schon, dass die Songs Substanz haben, dass sie alle so eine tiefere Bedeutung haben, dass es nie was so Triviales gibt oder Oberflächliches in seinem Songwriting. Und dazu steht er auch. Aber er sagt, es ergibt sich eigentlich eher zufällig, dass Verbindungen hergestellt werden zwischen verschiedenen Songs und dass eine gewisse Thematik vielleicht entsteht, und dass es Überschneidungen gibt, was die Thematik betrifft. Also das ist eher so ein zufälliger Prozess. Es ist nicht, dass er dann die feste Absicht gehabt hat, einen bestimmten Konzept oder einen Plan zu entwerfen, bestimmtes Thema aufzugreifen, das dann irgendwie konsequent durchgezogen wird. Aber er distanziert sich tatsächlich von oberflächlichen Texten. Also manchmal schreibt er Texte, die er denkt erstmal ganz vernünftig, sind zwei Tage später, dann schmeißt er sie weg, weil er sagt, es ist nicht mal halbwegs eigentlich das, was er eigentlich sagen wollte. Und darauf legt er schon großen Wert, dass er eigentlich was Vernünftiges mitteilt. So, what song would you like to hear next from the album?
Let's go with Goodbye Peace of Mind.
Goodbye Peace of Mind. Right. It's a typical track of yours in a sense that they tend to be kind of, yeah, it gets people's imagination going, you know what I mean, when you actually hear a song title like that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it makes people automatically listen a bit more closely, I think, which is...
Hopefully. Maybe.
We hope so.
Yeah.
Okay. So, wir hören jetzt Goodbye, Peace of Mind, von dem neuen Album Pharmacy, von Apologies, I Have None. Das war Goodbye, Peace of Mind, von Apologies, I Have None, von ihrem neuen Album Pharmacy. I've got to congratulate you on your great band name, by the way. I think so.
Thanks.
It's a really cool name.
Thank you.
I mean, a lot of people do actually, if you tell them, you know, who you're going to see tonight, say, Apologies, I Have None, they'll sort of almost like snigger a bit and think, well, actually, it's quite, you know, in a sense, it's funny, but in a good way. You know what I mean? Not in a tacky way, but in a positive way, because it sounds like a real statement of intent, doesn't it?
It's not, though. It's not like anything like that for us.
Okay.
It's a line from one of, like, my favourite bands. It's just a line from one of their songs.
Which band, then?
Grade. It's a Canadian band.
And which song?
It is... I can't remember the name of the song now. I haven't listened to the record for so long now.
Grade?
Grade, yeah.
Okay.
Hold on, let me think.
Sorry, you can think about it later.
I don't know. It's mind blank.
Okay.
But yeah.
Oh, I see. So that's
what
the inspiration
came
from.
Yeah.
It's not because you kind of deliberately having this stance where you actually refuse to apologise to anybody.
No, not at all.
For anything.
Nope.
Right, okay. Yeah, also ich habe ihn gratuliert zu seinem Bandnamen. Ich finde ihn großartig. Also apologies, I have none. So Entschuldigungen, ich habe keine. Aber er sagte, es ist nicht wirklich von Bedeutung, der Bandname. Es ist eigentlich die Textzeile von einer Lieblingsband von ihm. Grade aus Kanada, er hat vergessen, welches Lied das ist, aber er hat im Prinzip die Textseite geliehen als Bandnamen. Aber nur weil es gut klingt und nicht, weil er damit wirklich so was aussagen will. Es ist nicht so, dass er sich weigert, jetzt sich zu entschuldigen, egal was er macht. Also das ist nicht seine Absicht. Do you actually think that when it comes down to like punk music, modern day punk music, that it's still as easy to make kind of political and social statements which people are going to really take heed of? Or do you think that the climate is just so jaded these days that people don't really care enough? Or, you know, you can't turn the clock back and make it 1977, can you? But
I don't know. I can't tell if people are so jaded that they wouldn't be receptive to it. I mean, there are bands out there that kind of have a political edge, like, I mean, that's their main thing they're putting forward. I mean, I wonder, I don't know how effective that is. I don't know. I mean,
do you have a sense of a mission yourself in that respect?
I don't think we're, no.
Okay. Because you could get the impression that you do, because you seem to kind of be quite angry about things. You seem to be kind of quite committed to certain ideas and stuff.
But... yeah, but not really on, well, I don't know. It's probably as much about confusion as anything, like, as strong-willed.
Okay.
But, no, I don't really view us, like, having this kind of message or this strong stance on, you know, on any particular subject. They're all quite personal songs, so it's more an internal thing than a sort of stance.
Yeah, okay. And are they essentially autobiographical or written?
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, and the other guys in the band are cool with that because they have to kind of carry your load then with them then when you play.
Yeah, they don't mind. They're grateful. They thank me every day, in fact,
for making such sort of pertinent comments about your personal life.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Ja, ich meinte, dass er versteht die Band nicht in erster Linie als politische Band oder sozial bewusste Band, obwohl die Inhalte der Songs teilweise darauf hinweisen, dass er schon ein Mensch ist, der eigentlich ziemlich starke Meinungen hat und der ziemlich engagiert klingt und ziemlich leidenschaftlich. Aber er sagt, es ist nicht wirklich so seine Absicht, so irgendwie Propaganda auf irgendeine Weise zu vermitteln. Und er meinte, das sind letztendlich sehr persönliche Songs, eigentlich schon so autobiografisch. Und wenn überhaupt, dann ist seine zentrale Botschaft Verwirrung eigentlich. Ja, dass er sich irgendwie oft irgendwie so ja, verwirrt fühlt in dieser Welt. Und das kommt am ehesten rüber. Und seine Band, die Bandmitglieder sind froh darüber, dass sie einen Sänger haben, der irgendwie solche interessante Texte natürlich dann schreibt und effektive Botschaften damit vermittelt. When you write songs like Everybody Wants to Talk About Mental Health, for example, is it your intent to actually... well, this is what was because you were saying it more or less. It's a sign of that all your songs are more or less kind of more like about your confusion stuff. But that sounds like a statement of intent to actually want to open a discussion about things. But is that just a poetic license in that respect?
Do you mean? Can you rephrase it? Can you rephrase the question, please?
Yeah, well, there's a lot. Everybody wants to talk about mental health.
Yeah,
and it sounds like a deliberate ploy to call a song like that. Something like that, to make people start thinking about things, to start a discussion on things or whatever.
Yeah, again, no, I wouldn't say...
That's not the case.
No, it's not the case. It's more...
Okay.
I mean, not all of these titles are lines from within the songs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not really a statement of trying to get a conversation going. It's more... I mean, the song's mostly kind of about how, you know, there is a big push for people to be talking about mental health and stuff, which is a good thing. But it's also kind of, you know, like a big part of like people like having mental health problems is they won't talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. So there's kind of this like juxtaposition of saying to sort these issues out, we need to start talking about it, but
to make people feel less ashamed about it.
Yeah, but at the same time, no one actually that it involves wants to talk about it.
Yeah,
to a degree.
Yeah,
yeah,
because they're kind of worried about the consequences of what people might think of them, whatever. Yeah,
possibly. Yeah. I guess there's 100 reasons why they might not want to, but.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, also in Litvi, everybody wants to talk about mental health. Das heißt auf Deutsch so viel wie alle wollen über seelische Gesundheit sprechen. Das klingt natürlich schon wie so der Aufruf für eine Diskussion zu dem Thema. Aber er meinte, das ist auch nicht wirklich seine Absicht. Er wollte eigentlich nur darstellen, wie der Zustand ist eigentlich in unserer Gesellschaft. Dass einerseits herrscht mehr Offenheit als jemals zuvor, was das Thema betrifft. Dennoch sind die Betroffenen oft sehr scheu und sind eigentlich oft nicht wirklich bereit zuzugeben, dass sie solche Probleme haben. Oder sie möchten nicht so viel darüber reden. Und das Stück hören wir jetzt. Everybody Wants to Talk About Mental Health von dem neuen Album Pharmacy von Apologies I Have None. So das war Everybody Wants to Talk About Mental Health von Apologies I Have None. Bei mir im Studio ist Josh McKenzie von der Band. It seems like a probably obvious thing to say, but I mean, one of the main positive qualities about your music is that although some of it sounds a bit gloomy when it comes down to the lyrics, it ultimately comes over as being uplifting music. And I think that's what I kind of gain from it more than anything else.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that. There are a lot of, you know, we're all big fans of just sort of like hooks and, you know, like choruses and stuff like that. So we're always going to do stuff like that, which helps make a song kind of sound, you know, tonally, maybe not as dark as it might be lyrically. And I quite like that. It's kind of fun to do sometimes. Sometimes not, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like a... I mean, I suppose it is a bit of a feature, but it's not kind of like a hard rule that we go by.
Yeah, and it's interesting because although sometimes it's abrasive, it's never kind of abrasive in an unpleasant way, you know.
hopefully not.
Well, that's all a question of perspective, what you find unpleasant or not. But you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like... I can imagine people who otherwise don't necessarily listen to a great deal of punk rock would maybe make an example, an exception in your case. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. You can ask them on stage tonight.
Yeah, we'll see.
How many of you are just making an exception?
Yeah.
You won't normally hear this kind of
music. Numbers.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But, yeah. Now, I do actually know a few people I know personally have actually said that they don't normally listen to that kind of music, but in your case, somehow they can handle it.
That's good.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
But you, no doubt you probably have a hardcore punk audience as well, don't you? I don't mean hardcore in the sense of hardcore punk, but like a...
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of like in the UK, that's kind of like, you know, the kind of circle of bands and promoters and stuff. That was kind of what we first were playing our shows in. So we do, yeah. But I mean, it's especially nowadays, like, people that like punk, they like loads of other stuff. Do you know what I mean? There's... I don't know many people that are just sort of like diehard punk to the point where they basically don't go to loads of gigs and listen to all different types of music. I can't really think of many that I know.
Do you think people have just got more open-minded these days? People don't think in terms of these very, very narrow categories anymore, maybe, like they used to?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's an age thing as well. I mean, I remember when I was kind of a bit younger, I knew quite a lot of people that were just diehard sort of... If it's not punk, it's shit. Or obviously, being an adult now, it's not like that. So maybe it's an age thing.
Yeah.
You know, everyone when they're young likes to kind of latch onto something quite strong. And
so you allow yourself to listen to R&B now if you want to.
I love R&B.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Case in point.
Yeah, I don't see nothing wrong with a little bit of bump and grind. So.
Yeah. Ja, ich fragte Josh, also wie es ist eigentlich so mit seinen Punk-Wurzeln. Es ist eigentlich interessant, weil auf der einen Seite ist die Musik ziemlich düster, aber dennoch irgendwie erbaulich. Es hat was Optimistisches letztendlich. Und er meinte ja, das ist auch seine Absicht, Die stehen schon sehr auf Refrain, auf so melodische Sensibilität. Und das, er denkt, das ist eigentlich interessant. Also wenn man tatsächlich düstere Texte hat, aber die Musik wirkt irgendwie sehr positiv. Das ist einfach so die Art von Musik, die sie auch gerne mögen. Und er sagt, dass sie haben schon so einen harten Kern von richtigen Punks, weil sie aus diesem Umfeld ursprünglich gekommen sind. Aber er glaubt, dass die Zeiten sich ein bisschen geändert haben, also dass die Leute nicht mehr ganz so eindimensional sind, dass sie nicht so einseitig sind, was ihren Musikgeschmack betrifft. Und er kann nicht an so viele Leute denken, die er kennt, die wirklich nur ausschließlich Punkmusik hören würden und nichts anderes. Und er meint zum Beispiel selbst, dass er gerne R&B hört. Also das würde man nicht unbedingt vermuten, dass er sowas hören würde. Aber er denkt, dass als er ganz jung war, dann war er dann eigentlich engstirniger. Jetzt, dass er erwachsen ist, dann ist er also durchaus offener geworden. I think also one of the main qualities of your music is your engaging vocals.
Thanks.
And it's interesting, really, because the way you sing kind of properly on this album as well, I mean, you could, if you wanted to, like in a few years' time, to make a solo album, you know, on a piano, couldn't you? You could actually sing a songwriter album, if you want to. You know, who would have thought that when you first started? But
who thinks that now other than you, maybe?
yeah. No, but the point I'm making, is that something's been creeping in, you're saying, becoming an adult, getting older, you know, does it seem to be more appealing to maybe just be a bit quieter at times and, yeah?
I mean, that's always had an appeal to me, but I've got better at singing, like, over the years, so that's why you wouldn't have heard it much back in the, you know, years ago, just because I mean, I'm not saying I sing particularly well, but I was way, way worse even a few years ago. So just as I felt my, what I think is in within an acceptable range of ability, as that's kind of got better for what, for doing slightly different stuff.
Yeah, okay.
That's why we've kind of started doing it.
Ja, also es ist bemerkbar auf dem Album, dass es also einige ziemlich ruhige Phasen gibt und Passagen, die sehr angenehm sind. Er singt richtig so sanft und sanftmütig und das wäre unvorstellbar gewesen, als die Band angefangen hat. Und er meint, das hat ihn zwar immer gereizt, aber früher konnte das einfach nicht. Er konnte nicht so gut singen und er meinte, er hat sein Handwerk jetzt besser beherrscht. Also er meinte, er ist immer noch kein toller Sänger, aber er ist schon deutlich besser, als es einmal war. Und er denkt, dass ja, das ist einfach so ein Zeichen der Zeit einfach, dass die Dinge ändern sich und ja, man wird natürlich kompetenter. Und aber letztendlich war er immer ein Freund davon, dass man irgendwie solche kontrastreiche Musik irgendwie auf die Reihe bekommt. So, do you want to play? Should we play a track now, which maybe states the case of you being a better singer than you used to be? I mean, do you think there's a particularly fine example of that?
A particular. I don't know, I wouldn't want to say. maybe Anything Chemical?
Yeah.
It's got, I guess, a kind of bigger range of different type of singing. So, yeah, we'll go with that.
Because we've only jetzt ein Beispiel dafür, wie sein Gesang eine größere Variationsbreite bekommen hat. Wie er einfach jetzt besser geworden ist als Sänger, und zwar auf so unterschiedliche Art und Weise. Ja. Und wir hören das Stück jetzt. Anything Chemical, yeah. Ja, das hören wir jetzt. Von dem Album Pharmacy von Apologies, I Have None. So das war Anything Chemical von Apologies, I Have None, von dem neuen Album Pharmacy. So you were born and bred in London, is that right? That's where the band started, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I was born in Melbourne, and I grew up near
Oxford. Melbourne, all right.
But I grew up near Oxford.
Right, so you don't really sound like an Australian now, do you?
No, my dad and brothers, well, oldest brother, but I think I was like 4 or 5 or something.
Okay, so you weren't really influenced by Australian culture as such, no?
Yeah.
More by Oxford University then?
Yeah. Directly by Oxford University, yes.
Yeah, because with the London album, you could get the impression with the kind of local London boys, whatever, like songs like the 26 or stuff like that. But did you spend you're resident there, aren't you now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we've lived in London for I've lived there 9 or 10 years, I guess. So.
Okay. And is that still the best place to be from a creative point of view, do you think?
I don't think necessarily. No. You know, it's good, in fact, that there's, like, loads of venues and there's loads of gigs happen. like, you know, smaller shows and also bands that you want to see, they're always going to come and play in London. But in terms of, like, an actual creative for people making music specifically, I don't think London really has a greater appeal for that than anywhere else, I don't think.
OK. So it just happens to be where you landed, more or less.
Mm.
Yeah. Ja, er lebt in London seit 10 Jahren, kommt ursprünglich aus Australien, aber ist schon mit 4 Jahren nach Oxford gekommen, da ist er aufgewachsen. Aber als Band haben sie immer in London existiert, aber meinte, das ist einfach so ein Ort, um zu arbeiten, aber das ist nicht, als ob er denkt, dass es irgendwie besondere Qualitäten hat, also auf die er nicht verzichten könnte. Er ist einfach da, wo sie jetzt einfach momentan sind. So, do you think these days in long term, because the band has been around for quite a while now, are you thinking in terms of longevity, or do you try not to kind of bother about that too much, those sort of long-term thoughts?
I try not to think too much like that, because, you know, it can drive you insane. But, I mean, I can't imagine doing anything else at the moment.
Do you think it's detrimental to the creativity to worry about, like, long-term things?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess that's different for each one. I can't imagine... I don't know if it'd be detrimental, but it's just not something I do. I don't like
because you don't want to drive yourself insane.
Yeah, just keeping my sanity by not doing it.
Yeah, yeah, so you just kind of wake up in the morning and think about writing a new song, and if it doesn't work out, just go back to bed or whatever. Then so we'll try again tomorrow.
No, I'm not that lazy actually. I'm all right, but yeah, I mean, obviously, like, make plans as far ahead as like normal, but, you know, I'm not thinking about, are we still going to be a band in, like, 15 years?
Right, okay.
Like, you know, yeah. It might do, it might not, I don't know.
Ja, er versucht sich keine Gedanken darüber zu machen, also wie lange es die Band geben könnte, weil er meinte, er würde sich selbst nur zum Wahnsinn treiben. Er versucht, solche Gedanken zu meiden. Er kann sich nicht vorstellen, irgendwas anderes zu machen, zumindest momentan nicht. Aber ja, er versucht einfach, so eine positive Haltung zu behalten und zu haben, und hofft auf das Beste, aber er ist nicht bereit, irgendwie sich Gedanken darüber zu machen, ob es die Band noch in 15 Jahren gibt. People tend to think of loud guitar bands with kind of punk elements to be kind of like wild cards. Do you think that's a misnomer? Do you think that people get drawn to that kind of music are kind of maybe less mentally disciplined than other people or anything like that? Do you think that's a myth?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's the case, really. I think there's... I mean, I think, like, punk's definitely, you know, like, it's not kind of a catch-all thing. And, like, it's definitely, like, there are people that are underrepresented everyone gets in pubs. But in terms of actually, like... the kind of view on music, I think it's pretty wide cast. Like, I don't think there's a... It's not hard line. I think people's sort of tastes and stuff within it are pretty kind of varied.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right. And what I've noticed is that over the years, if I met punk bands, how mild some of the personalities tend to be.
Mm.
One of my favourite punk bands was from Sunderland, Leatherface. And Frankie Stubbs is such a mild character. And when he sings, you just wouldn't believe it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen him punch someone, so.
Oh, right, okay. Well, maybe I just got him on a good day.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know him, so I'm sure he's any other time, maybe. Maybe he was having a bad night, I don't know.
He's always been extremely polite to me, but probably because I've been playing his music so much on the show, so he better not punch me. Ja, okay. So, ich fragte eigentlich nur, ob er der Meinung ist, dass Punks die Punkmusik machen. Also, ob sie, ja, die haben den Ruf oft, ziemlich wild zu sein, ziemlich chaotisch zu sein, vielleicht nicht so angepasst als Menschen. Und er denkt, das ist eigentlich überholt, die Idee, oder einfach nur zu seiner Verallgemeinerung. Man kann die Leute nicht über einen Kamm scheren. Und er denkt, das ist eigentlich nicht wirklich so. Und ich nannte zum Beispiel... Also ich von Punkbands, die ich getroffen habe, wo die sehr milde Persönlichkeiten sind, wie Frankie Stubbs und Leatherface. Und man hat gesehen, wie Frankie jemand irgendwie geschlagen hat. Insofern, das ist vielleicht ein schlechtes Beispiel. Also ich habe mich noch nicht mit Frankie Stubbs geprügelt, insofern. Aber kein Wunder, weil ich seine Musik so oft gespielt habe. Right, so what would you like to hear to finish off then? What are we going to wind things up with?
A Pharmacy in Paris?
Pharmacy in Paris,
that's
very
quite
good.
Long, I don't know.
Or we can fade it, then, if necessary.
Yeah, just fade it halfway through it. The second verse.
OK, so zum Schluss haben wir Pharmacy in Paris. Das letzte Stück auf dem Album, von dem Album Pharmacy, ist sowas wie ein Titelstück. And any particular story behind this song, the pharmacy in Paris, was there a pharmacy in Paris that...
Well, there's loads.
Particularly conspicuous.
No, it's just kind of a pharmacy's, like, kind of a lasting impression from Paris on me. Just from... I used to go and stay there all the time and...
Right.
I don't know. It's quite a big thing in France.
Yeah.
Pharmaceuticals, so...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is einfach so... Yeah, das Bild auf dem Cover ist einfach so eine Apotheke, die er gesehen hat in Paris, wo er viel zu Besuch war. Und das fand er eigentlich so auch hübsch als Motiv. Und das Stück hören wir jetzt, zum Beispiel aus der Pharmacy in Paris. Anyway, well, thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
And hope you have a good time tonight. I'm sure you will.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
So, mein Studiogast war Josh McKenzie von Apologies I Have None. Und zum Schluss haben wir, wie gesagt, jetzt A Pharmacy in Paris. Das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.